And you thought websites tracked your movements. You should hear what they do with apps. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. By tomorrow morning, we'll know the government's official count of people with and without jobs for the month just finished, September. On Thursdays, we turn to someone who lives and breathes information about the ebb and flow of the labor market. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tomorrow, what do you think?
You know, I think by the time both months have been tallied of August and September together, we are likely to get 400,000 for the 2 months total. Tomorrow, I'm looking for 235,000 with some upward revisions to this tepid August we had. There's this comeback of these workers that walked out in New England, grocery store workers that walked out. That'll add almost 20,000 to retail that wasn't there before. And we also have something really important going on. State and local governments are finally hiring up teachers again after the draconian cuts we saw into the recovery right up through 2013. We're now seeing teachers coming back, and that's really important to have more teachers in the classrooms as well.
What about the quality of jobs that we're seeing if it's on average 200,000 over the 2 months?
You know, we are starting to see a little better quality of jobs. We're going to see some manufacturing and some construction jobs as well. And we've also gotten what I call meat on the bone jobs, some full-time jobs in business services with a little higher pay. That's really important, especially for the new college grads out there that have had a hard time getting full-time pay. A lot of them are working part-time instead of full-time or underemployed. Now they can start to think about hopefully getting that full-time job.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, always good to talk to you.
Thank you.
General Motors CEO Mary Barra is trying to change the conversation. The recalls of cars with faulty ignition switches and the hearings and lawsuits that followed have weighed heavily on the automaker. So Barra has now laid out plans aimed at reviving GM's stock price and making what she called customers for life, Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports.
Barra is pledging to boost profit margins, cut costs, and grow GM.
We have the resources. We have the technical talent. We have the global footprint.
GM's plan includes new factories in China and streamlining global production. It also focuses on what customers want: new, quieter vehicles, broadband, even a hands-free driving option called Super Cruise. Analyst Carl Brower is at Kelley Blue Book.
It wasn't super innovative or breakout. It was just a reaffirmation of all the things we know GM and really every other global automaker has to do in the coming 10 years.
But Jeremy Acevedo at Edmunds.com says the plan is still an opportunity for reinvention.
What this is doing, she's allowed to repaint GM as a new customer-focused brand, whereas before, you know, it just kind of looked like the old GM that was so interested in driving profits.
Despite this year's recalls, GM's U.S. sales are still strong. September's were up 19% over last year. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Now to the campaign to push customers away from websites and into the more circumscribed universe of apps. Among the reasons we're often begged to use the app instead, the app lets companies get far more information about you. From San Francisco, Sam Harnett reports.
If you try to use the real estate website Zillow on your phone, you're bound to run into a full screen ad for one of its apps. Download it and it'll keep you company day and night.
Now Zillow can be present in your pocket when you're touring open houses, when you're driving around the neighborhood, when you're laying in bed at night, you know, checking something before you go to bed.
Jeremy Waxman leads mobile strategy at Zillow. Two-thirds of its traffic is now on phones, he says. And to better know what you're doing on your phone, Zillow has partnered with Google Now. That app gathers information from places like a user's web browser, phone GPS, and other Google products. Zillow wants to use that data to show people ads for houses before they even know they want them.
That smartphone in your pocket, I mean, that's a very powerful computer. It's more powerful than what was on your desk 5 or 6 years ago. And it also knows a lot about you.
Mobile data opens up all kinds of possibilities for companies. For instance, your contact list can help Instagram connect more user accounts. On the other hand, LinkedIn can learn about your social network from your calendar. And of course, advertisers will pay a pretty penny for that kind of data.
With mobile, you have the GPS location, so exact coordinates, maybe 24/7. And there's access to cameras, microphones, calendars, address books, even vibration of the device.
That's Domingo Guerra. He co-founded AppThority. It evaluates how well apps protect personal information. He says it's uncertain what companies will do with all your data. They don't even know.
The more data they collect now, the more users they can find for it later.
And if you switch from a website to the mobile app, it may not be obvious what data you're giving up. Susan Grant is from the Consumer Federation of America.
It's not standardized and it's not regulated. So the only way you can tell is looking at the privacy policy. If it's not clear to you what information is being collected, then don't use that app.
Often, she says, it's not clear. In any case, some companies don't leave consumers much of a choice. On Facebook, for example, mobile users can only send messages by downloading its new Messenger app, which, by the way, has been criticized for gathering all sorts of personal data. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And imagine a world with two separate currencies, one for the locals, one for the tourists. That is Cuba. Everyday Cubans get paid in a currency that can't be converted to foreign money, especially U.S. dollars. But many goods can only be purchased using the convertible tourist pesos. Today, Cuba's central bank chief unveiled details of his plans to merge the two currencies. He assures Cubans this won't spark inflation, but that, economists say, will be the trick. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM American Public Media.